Today, as we gather together to worship, is a very special day. It's a special day in the Christian calendar. It's also a special day in the Jewish calendar. Today is Pentecost Sunday, a term we've probably heard quite often. And if we're asked what it means, we would most likely answer that it is the day the Holy Spirit was poured out on Jesus' apostles. And you would be quite right. But I would like us to delve into this word a little deeper and see the bigger picture painted for us in Scripture. The word Pentecost means 50 or 50th, and it is celebrated 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus. It is celebrated in the Christian church at the same time that the Jewish people celebrate one of their most important festivals, the festival of Shavuot, also called the Festival of Weeks. God instructed his people to bring a sheaf of the first wheat harvest to the priest for a blessing. And this was to occur 50 days after Passover. In Leviticus 23, verse 16, God instructs his people so: count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. This festival was and is known as the Festival of Weeks, or Shavuot. But over time, it became a day to commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai to Moses, which occurred at the time of the Shavuot festival. Why should we be concerned with Jewish festivals at all? Because those festivals are precursors to events that shape our faith in the Messiah Jesus, and we would do well to know about them and look into their significance to us as people rooted in the Jewish faith, because everything written in the Old Testament points to Jesus. There is a very strong connection between Shavuot and Pentecost, so let us first look at the events of Mount Sinai, when Moses received the law, the Ten Commandments, from God, and then see what happens at Pentecost. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1-6, set the time, and this is Israel at Mount Sinai. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." So that is the scene at which the Ten Commandments were given to Moses. Then carrying on from verses 18 to 20, we see the action. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Now I'd like us to jump ahead to Acts, to the account that shows us the beginning of the church. And in fact, on this day, the church was born. So today is the church's birthday. Acts 2 verses 1-4 say, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So these scriptures take us from Mount Sinai to Jerusalem with very similar happenings. At Mount Sinai, there was thunder and lightning and a loud trumpet. In Jerusalem, there was a roaring sound like a mighty wind. On Mount Sinai, there was fire on the mountain and the voice of God. In Jerusalem, there were tongues of fire and the apostles were empowered. On Mount Sinai, the law was written in stone. In Jerusalem, the law was written on people's hearts. So this time of Shavuot and Pentecost is not merely about the giving of the law at Sinai or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but both events point to something larger: God preparing human beings to become spiritual bread for his kingdom. At Mount Sinai, God descended in fire and established covenant with Israel, and this happened in 1446 BC. Centuries later, fire descended again as the Spirit filled the disciples, and this occurred in 33 AD. So these were not disconnected events. They reveal the same divine pattern. God forms his people through truth, covenant, and holy fire. But I'd now like to elaborate on the hidden power of the Holy Spirit and why knowing him changes everything. We see God the Father as the Creator, enthroned in eternity. We see Jesus the Son walking on the earth, teaching, healing, even dying and rising again. But you know, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, things often feel a little mysterious. Some think of him as some kind of force. Others imagine him as a wind or the breath of God. Some picture him as an invisible helper floating around. But who is the Holy Spirit really? And why does Scripture say blaspheming him is the only unforgivable sin? Just think about that. Out of all the sins humanity could commit, this one stands alone, singled out. And that should make us ask, who is this Spirit whose honor carries such eternal weight? This is all about encountering the Spirit who can live inside you, guide you, comfort you, convict you, and empower you to do things you never imagined. Have you ever felt God close to you? Not in the thunderous voice of the Father, not in the visible life of Jesus, but in that little nudge saying, "This is the way, walk in it." That is the Holy Spirit. And the incredible truth is that he can make God real to you every single day. I'd just like to mention the unforgivable sin. What is it? What is the sin that can never be forgiven? It is the persistent, willful, and deliberate rejection of God's truth and the Holy Spirit's conviction. So for those who reject God deliberately, there cannot be forgiveness. When people talk about God, they describe the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. They describe Jesus, his miracles, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. But the Holy Spirit? Often he's mentioned in passing. Maybe a symbolic dove, maybe called a ghost, as in the old translations of the Bible, as we sang earlier, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Many believers go their whole lives knowing about him, but never truly walking with him. They may feel him occasionally, but fail to recognize his voice daily. And that is tragic, because without the Spirit, we are powerless. Now consider this. Jesus did not begin his ministry until the Spirit came upon him. At his baptism, his Father's voice thundered, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then the Spirit descended like a dove. Only then did Jesus cast out demons, heal the sick, and preach the kingdom with power. If Jesus needed the Spirit, how much more do we need him? And you know, one of the biggest misunderstandings is treating the spirit like an it. He is not an it. He is a he. He has emotions. He can be grieved, resisted, or quenched. But he can also be welcomed, embraced, or adored. Jesus said, I may leave you physically, but I will not leave you alone. I am sending you me again, but in a way that I can live inside you. And that changes everything. Jesus said it was better that he goes away so that the Spirit can come down. But why is that better? Because when he was on earth, he was limited by his body. The Spirit, however, can live in all believers everywhere, all the time. The presence of God is no longer distant. Heaven can invade your earth. So think about the day of Pentecost. The disciples were gathered together in the upper room on a day when Jerusalem was full, because Shavuot was one of the important festivals in the Jewish calendar, and the people had to come to Jerusalem to the temple to celebrate that festival. So as the disciples were gathered together in the upper room, they felt uncertain. They were praying and waiting. And suddenly the room was filled with a rushing wind, and tongues of fire were on each one's heads. They began to speak in languages they had never learned. Their lives were changed forever. If we truly lived as if the Spirit of God were truly in us, how differently would we live? The Spirit is not weak. He is strength, fire, and life. So often we cry to the Father for guidance and to Jesus for strength, while ignoring the one who can empower us daily. That gentle nudge to pray, the whisper to stop a bad choice, the comfort in grief, these are the Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit is not the forgotten one of the Trinity. He is the present person, making the Father and the Son real to us now. Without him, God stays distant. But with him, eternity invades time. Heaven invades earth. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that our human minds struggle with the concept of the Trinity. But it's not something to be understood. It is something to be experienced. The Holy Spirit is the bridge between heaven and earth, making God alive in us today. Knowing the Holy Spirit transforms our lives. It changes our strength, our decisions, and our intimacy with God. So as we celebrate Pentecost today, let us carry the reminder that we carry God in our hearts and in our lives because of his gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.